I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. We are currently under tornado watch where I am. So I want you to know if the microphone just goes silent, either I was killed on the air or there's a tornado. All right. So, Chris, is there a plan for a tornado here? What is the plan, Chris? Oh, we just kind of kicked the radio signal over, so people might be listening to like the Happy Days theme song and I'll be dead in a tornado. That's kind of hilarious, actually. All right, in this hour, we're going to make fun of the New York Times. In fact, we're going to make fun of commies getting what commies always seem to get. We're going to discuss many different things like the revolt in the New York Times, emails, so on and so forth. All right, let's start with this New York Times story because I already teased it, and so let's just knock this out right off the bat. One of the things that is going to be beautiful, if you're a person, a terrible person like me, is going to be watching communists experience the fruits of their communism. It's one of the great parts about it. Again, I want to make sure I give credit to my buddy Phil who came up with the quote. It's one of the quotes that I would die to have come up with myself, and now I have to give him credit, which you know I hate to do. He said, the greatest thing about communism is all the communists, communism is killed. I mean, in the end, he's right. In the end, these people eat each other because it's a religion of destruction and death and domination. They just eat each other. Everyone's worried about Colombia. I can't believe what's happening at NYU with all the protests and whatnot. I thought it was great. I thought it was hilarious. Of course, the GOP had a trip over themselves. Ha, 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 the anti-Semitism. I thought it was wonderful. Dirty communist professors and dirty communist students are attacking the dirty communist university that taught them how to be dirty communists. Where's the loss here? But what about the Jewish kids? Jewish kids shouldn't be on Columbia's campus. You shouldn't be there. It's an evil place. Leave. Go somewhere else. I think it's hilarious when they eat themselves. And I think this is hilarious. A revolt is brewing inside the New York Times as the top editor calls out, quote, thin-skinned reporters. Quote, young adults who are coming up through the education system are less accustomed to this sort of open debate and this sort of robust exchange of views and so on and so forth. Oh, are the vile little commies you're hiring, are they acting like vile little commies? Are they not tolerant? Do they not want to have an open debate with you? Are they making your disgusting organization miserable? Man, that is too bad. I thought about this recently when I saw it at Google. Maybe you saw it. Google had its own employees revolt and do some kind of sit-in where they were trying to occupy the Google offices. Google's one of the most evil corporations on the planet. Everyone was worried about it. I thought it was hilarious. Hilarious. It's the greatest thing in the world. And corporate America, not good corporate America, but evil corporate America, all these big corporations who've gone full-blown commie now and they promote it everywhere, they are starting to suffer from all the viruses they've brought into their companies. For years, they've been bringing in dirty commie after dirty commie after dirty commie. Of course, it all begins at HR. If your company has an HR department, the chances your HR department is run by a liberal white woman who's to the left of Mao are about 99%, because that's another choke point communists realize. They recognize, they seized it, and they've used the HR department to completely destroy the culture of corporate America. I think it's hilarious when these gigantic corporations suffer from what they've done. I think it's great because outside of the education system, There's not a more damaging thing the communists in this country have taken over than corporate America. Why? Because corporate America is in your eyes and ears everywhere, because we're an advertising society. It's billboards, it's TV commercials, it's TV shows. It's the, I think it's hilarious when these places eat themselves. It's wonderful. All right, before we get to the Francis Collins social distancing lie, I do want to do some emails, and then we're going to mock Mitt Romney and all kinds of things. The Navy secretary basically ensured that recruiting is going to continue to be a disaster and so much more. But let's do a bunch of emails first. Jesse, with the terrible state of the economy, shouldn't Trump just go basement strategy? Lay low and take the win in November. All right, so this guy doesn't want really Trump out there debating and things like that. Just lay low. Okay, well, couple things. One, we shouldn't ask people to do things they're not capable of doing. It's one of the things you learn as you get older. Chris is never going to ask me. Jewish producer Chris is never going to ask me to tweak the volume of my microphone or, you know, my soundboard, my great soundboard. Chris is never going to ask me to reprogram it with different things. I'm not capable. It's not in my nature. I don't do technology. There's no. He and Michael could sit and beat their heads against the wall and take 2 days and try to teach me, and I'd do it, and I'd never learn. I'd never be able to do it. They're not going to ask. In fact, they don't even let me touch the thing outside of pressing the buttons. You can't ask someone like Donald Trump to hide in a basement. It's not Trump's nature. In fact, you know, I was ranting about that debate, and I'm super, super angry about the conditions we accepted for the debate. On CNN, you shouldn't even give CNN ratings. Hostile moderators, cutting off Trump's microphone, essentially setting ourselves up to get our teeth kicked in. And I was mad about that. And I talked to Sean Spicer about it. You remember Sean Spicer was Trump's big, it was Trump's press sec. You know, he's handling all this stuff. And I know Sean. I was talking to Sean about it. And Sean, we were going back and forth on the whole thing. And Sean said, you know, I was there so many times for these negotiations with Donald Trump. And he said, Jesse, you have to understand Donald Trump's mentality. He would tell me, I'll take him on anytime, any place. I just want to debate him. Like, he didn't even care about the rules. Now, I disagree with Trump on that, but it shows you Trump's mentality. Trump just wants to fight. He wants to go take him on. Trump wants to campaign. He wants to rally. He wants to give speeches. Trump, before he was in politics, everyone knew who he was. Why? Well, don't say it's because he's a billionaire. Trump's not even close to being the richest guy in New York City. It's not because he was a billionaire. There are all kinds of billionaires you and I will never hear from. Trump is a public person. He wants to be out there, loud, and in your face. And so asking him to do a quiet campaign just because the economy sucks won't work, because you're asking him to do something he's not capable of. And let me follow that up with this. I think the poll numbers for Joe Biden, I think maybe we're getting a little too cocky too early. Remember, national polls do not matter. If you want to know the state of the presidential race, go look at the polls in Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. Yes, those polls appear to have Trump up slightly right now. Last one I saw had him up by 1 or 2 points within the margin of error. I know Joe Biden's a disaster, and I know the border's open, and I know people are unhappy, and inflation's crushing everybody, and I know that logically, the way you think, the way I think, you would blame that on Joe Biden, and you would vote for Donald Trump. Voters do not think logically. They do not think in a linear way like that, and I'm telling you right now, this is anyone's game. I'm not telling you to you know, lower your expectations. You should hope to win in November. This is anyone's game. You cannot play prevent defense and win the presidency. And there's something else that you should consider. You know, I've said many times that I believe Donald Trump, or I believe Joe Biden, is going to be dumped at the convention. And let me clarify why that is. They can't dump Joe Biden now. Joe Biden is winning primaries, and delegates that he wins are bound to him. They can't go anywhere else. So if you want to replace Joe Biden, you can, but he has to, after he gets the nomination at the convention, he has to give those delegates away. Essentially, he has to pick someone, and that he can do. He can pick someone and say, hey, Chris, congratulations, you're the Democrat nominee. He can do that. Trump came out recently and said he believes they're going to do that too. Now, I don't think we're really appreciating the danger there. I don't think we're appreciating what a smart move that is for Democrats if they were to actually pull it off. They can take all the bad that people are unhappy with, all the inflation, the immigration, the everything else, and they can drop all that in Joe Biden's lap like a hot potato and then wheel his old butt out the back of the White House and bring in a fresh face and say, hey, it wasn't me. That was Joe Biden. But you don't like Trump, do you? Vote for me. There's all this journey is fraught with danger here. We're the hobbits heading to Mordor. We got all kinds of danger between now and then. All right, let's just keep that in mind. All right, let's talk about Francis Collins. Remember that social distancing stuff? There was some intriguing testimony today. Before we get to that, let's talk about you, me, and where the heck do we put our money? Where do you put your money right now? This debt bomb that's coming in, all that stuff. Real estate, man. Things you can touch and feel. What do I always tell you? Land, real estate, gold, silver. Land, real estate, gold, silver. Why those things, though? Why? Because no matter what, hard assets, no matter what happens, always have value. Value may go up, value may go down, but it never disappears. Done for you real estate. Go get a hold of Done for You Real Estate. What do they do? Well, they'll find you a home. They'll find it in the best properties, the best markets. They vet them. They'll get the financing. They handle the closing, the rental process. You begin acquiring homes. You acquire one. Obviously, you're not a millionaire. This is for normal people to get involved in this. Teachers, construction workers, whatever you do. Normal people begin real estate with Done For You Real Estate. And they handle it all. And they're wonderful people. They're my friends. Go to doneforyoujesse.com. And find out what they can do for you. DoneForYouJesse.com. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're gonna love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Do not forget tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. So email your questions in right now. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. This is breaking, according to Natalie Winters. Former NIH Director Francis Collins, well, this is what he said. He was asked, do you recall science or evidence that supported the 6-foot distance? His answer, I do not. Have you seen any evidence since then supporting 6 feet? No. He was the NIH Director. I want everyone to marinate on that for a moment. I want you to remember how we completely reordered all of American society based on the idiotic concept that we should just be 6 feet away from other people at all times. Remember, that was the justification for shutting down your business, shutting down your child's school. It was the justification for everything. This completely moronic idea that we can just all of a sudden stay 6 feet away from other people at all times, completely ripped up, rebuilt, and gutted American society for a long period of time in ways America still has not recovered from and probably will never recover from. And they made the whole thing up. They invented it out of thin air and then abused you without end. Based on that concept. And these are supposed to be the smartest people on the planet. It's not like Francis Collins is some first year med school student who doesn't even know the difference between veins and arteries. Francis Collins was the director of the National Institute of Health, and he was passing all these rulings. He could not have pushed any harder to completely lock down and shut down American society. And his justification for it was that we all had to be 6 feet away from each other, and he made the entire thing up. think how evil that is. Look, it's one thing to not know, right? Okay, a new virus. Maybe you don't know. I don't know. You don't know. I don't know anything about viruses. I don't know. But it's another thing entirely to pretend you do know, crush people's freedoms by pretending you do know, and tell anyone who disagrees with you that they're, quote, against the science, anti-science. And that's the kind of government we have. And then combine that with this little line of questioning today about the gain-of-function research. How many Americans, how many norms and normas out there, how many of them understand that we funded coronavirus?
Dr. Tabak, did NIH fund gain-of-function research at the Wuhan Institute of Virology through Echo Health?
It depends on your definition of gain-of-function research. If you're speaking about the generic term, yes, we did, but this is research, the generic term is research that goes on in many, many labs around the country. It is not regulated, and the reason it's not regulated is it poses no threat or harm to anybody.
We funded the creation of COVID in a lab in Wuhan, China. The United States of America, our government, we created COVID and then destroyed your freedom and mind because of the virus we created. Ouch, right? Man. Whew. And now you understand why I speak out so emphatically against our medical systems right now in this country. It's not that we don't have wonderful doctors and nurses. There are many listening to this show right now, walking the halls of a hospital. But the institutions themselves have turned on us. They've turned evil. That's why I tell you about chalk so often, too. It's why I talk about natural herbal supplements. I am such a fan of natural things. Now, we have a natural store in my area, and the first place I go, it's got a natural doctor, one of these naturopaths in there. The first place I go is not a traditional doctor now. I go talk to him. When I want things improved on in my life, I go to Chalk. Chalk is not a last resort for me. It's the very first place I go, no matter what is ailing me, because they sell natural herbal supplements and the best ones around, and they're anti-communists. Chalk, they may have been more mortified than I was by all the COVID lockdown insanity and the push of that poison. I love them so much. It's what a wonderful company. And they sell such incredible things. The Male Vitality Stack has changed my life. Go to chok.com. Pick up something. Maybe you want a Male Vitality Stack. Maybe you want to jack your T levels up, your energy, your mood. Ladies, Female Vitality Stacks, whatever you're into. Chok.com. Promo code Jesse gets you a big discount. Man, these freaking people. All right, let's get to some more emails. Jesse, tuning into the May 7th podcast, I witnessed a segue so smooth it had me spit out my generic brand cola from laughing. Quote, and it created a condition in these long-term Democrats that bubbles out of them. Speaking of bubbling out of them, did you know Fred used to have digestive issues from time to time? How do you come up with these things on the fly and say them with straight face? It's unbelievable. Well, listen. This show, as you know, is not a charity. No radio shows are. It's not a nonprofit. It's a for-profit enterprise. And there are two ways you can make profit in radio. You can either sell subscriptions to it where you would have to pay, or you can do an advertiser-supported model where advertisers pay for the show, and then you patronize the advertisers, and everyone wins. And everyone has a different philosophy on that. But I will say this. It's not that anyone listening to the sound of my voice right now loves ads. You love the show. You don't love ads. Who loves ads? Nobody loves ads. You love the show. So the reason I do ads the way I do them is not just because I partner with these people and they're anti-communists and believe in them greatly. I don't want it to be painful and boring. I throw jokes in. I say inappropriate things. And I love that the advertisers are all great with that when I do that. I don't want you to suffer when I'm telling you about something. So we try to, as best we can, and Chris and Michael are part of this too, they're always looking for ways to make it more fun and interesting so you're not sitting there wanting to drive your car off a bridge when I tell you about chalk or something like that. I want it to be good because the advertising ain't going away. Better not, or the show's going away. All right? All right. Someone has a question about rye bread and mass deportation. Hang on.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. Both Nate and I are journalists who moonlight as poker players. We've both won, and I have to say lost, hundreds of thousands of dollars playing poker. And poker is a lens that we're going to use to approach this entire show, because poker isn't just about playing cards. It's actually about how to make good decisions. It's an entire framework for thinking about the world.
In addition to poker, we'll be talking about the wide world of gambling, so sports betting, for example, plus the news, politics, it is an election year, and personal decisions, too.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
Tune into Risky Business every Thursday.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday, an amazing Thursday, and it's been all kinds of spice in here tonight, so let's just discuss something, maybe a little heavier, but don't worry, we're going to make fun of Mitt Romney here in a minute, so that'll be fun. We're going to do more emails and discuss Chris's gross rye bread in a moment, but before we do that, let's talk about this. I have said repeatedly that I like the idea of mass deportation. In fact, I'm in love with it. We have to have it. I just doubt the American people have the stomach for it, and I doubt the system will allow it even if we want it. So to be clear, I like that Trump is campaigning on it. By all accounts, from my people I know in Trump's camp, he means it. He wants mass deportation, so that's a good thing. Remember, that is a good thing. We must have that. I just don't believe the evil system who wants this country full of a bunch of dirt balls, they're never going to allow it to happen because filling up the country with illegals has been a central tenet of American communism since the 60s and 70s. They have wanted to fill this country up with illegals so bad because it will destroy it. Remember, debt and illegal immigration can destroy nations no matter how big and powerful they are. That's a fact. So, I mean, look, here's a couple emails. Here's a couple headlines. 148 House Democrats vote against a bill to deport illegals who assault police. Wrap your mind around that. They voted against a bill to deport illegals who assault police. That is now the Democrat position in the country. Headline, ICE is blocked from making use of a 1,900-person California detention center due to an outdated COVID policy. That's obviously not why they're blocking them. They're blocking them because they don't want illegals deported in this country. These are things that are happening now when Democrats are suffering from bad poll numbers because of all these things. Now, let me ask you, how bad do you think it's going to get if we start trying to deport 20 million freaking people out of this country? It would be horrific. The backlash, the judges, the voters themselves, the news organizations, it would be ugly. Yes, there's an appetite for it now because people haven't experienced what it looks like yet to round people up by the million and ship them back from whence they came. I'm not saying that to bring anybody down. I'm saying it so we can live in the real world and so the red states will possibly consider the fact that they had better start arresting and deporting people now because there ain't no mass deportation coming anytime soon. It's just not going to happen. And they'll pretend, like I saw Biden, he plans an executive order today on the border. Corinne Diversity Hire was asked about it.
Give us any update on the president's thinking on that executive order to be
Look,
I mean, this is the same thing that I've been saying, and we've all been saying for the past several months, right? Especially since when we first introduced this National Security Supplemental back in October, that included the border security piece in that. And then, obviously, we took that out and then went to a place of working a bipartisan way with senators in trying to come up with a negotiation that dealt with border challenges, that dealt with a broken system that we have seen for decades. And so we...
Yeah, that would be the GOP amnesty bill authored by James Lankford. Don't think I forgot about you, Lankford. Oh, I'm going to remember when your re-election comes around. Anyway, that would be the GOP amnesty bill. And so now Joe Biden's pretending as if he's going to pass an executive order to smash these things. He's, of course, not, because it is a requirement that Democrats open the border and fill the country with illegals. The entire system is aimed towards that. Mass deportation. Never going to happen. Well, Jesse, what is the deal with Jewish rye bread, he says? I saw it in a store yesterday, and it's cheaper than other loaves. Can just anyone buy it and eat it? Or do you have to get permission? If so, from who? Hey, Chris, what's up with you people's bread? Anyone can eat it, right? It doesn't have to... You don't know the difference between Jewish rye bread and non-Jewish rye bread? So there's no difference at all? Well, it's disgusting. I don't know why anyone wanted... Look, it is terrible. Yes, it is, Chris. It's awful. Why rye? Why not sourdough? Can you people eat sourdough? You can eat sourdough, right? Why not sourdough? It's clearly the superior bread. Look, buddy, you shouldn't be buying rye bread anyway. Anyway, I talked to Chris about it for you. Anyone can eat it. Don't worry about that. Oh, this one hurt. Jesse... I was really disappointed to hear you bragging about carrying what you call a satchel. I have known other men who've done something similar, and they always try to make it sound more manly by coming up with a cool-sounding name. Tactical cross-shoulder bag, satchel, etc. I'm not buying it. A man knows a purse when he sees one. Please stop lying to yourself and insulting our intelligence. You, my friend, carry a purse. Just admit it. Putting a firearm inside does not make it better. It's still a purse. That's how many other women carry their weapon as well. I guess you are right about being half European now. Your instinct as an American man is being degraded, namely the instinct not to carry a friggin' purse. I'm a big fan, but everyone needs tough love now and then. He said his name is Kevin. It's not a purse, okay? How am I supposed to carry my weapon... My weapons, plural, if I'm in athletic shorts and a t-shirt. Where exactly am I supposed to put them? I'm not Pete Buttigieg. I can't just put them anywhere. I have to carry them in something. What am I supposed to carry these things in? Chris said a chest rig, like a man. I sometimes pull my satchel around to my chest, and then it's a chest satchel. I don't know why that doesn't count as a chest rig, Chris. Gosh. Anyway, we're moving on, and we're going to talk really quickly about... Before we make fun of Mitt Romney, we're going to talk about recruiting and retention in the military. Eric Schmidt, one of the few really, really good senators we have, he's friggin' awesome, from Missouri, he asked the Navy Secretary about the vaccine mandate today. And before I play that, I want to remind everybody that maybe it didn't affect you, and I hope it didn't affect you, but men and women in the military... who were making it a career to serve their country and wanted to make it a career, had their careers, had their jobs ripped away from them because of a vaccine mandate. A vaccine mandate for a vaccine that isn't even a vaccine. It's a therapeutic. By no definition is it a vaccine. Not only is it a therapeutic, it's a therapeutic that doesn't even work. In fact, it causes harm. In fact, it wears off in about 15 minutes after you get it. That's why remember they just miraculously came up with the idea of booster shots? They started telling everyone, get a shot. Well, that's not working. Get two of them. That should work. You remember, you got to get a double dose. Oh, wait. That's not working either. Well, you need a booster. Okay. Two boosters. All right, every 6 months. Okay, well, we can look back on these things and we can mock them and laugh at them now. How many people in the Army, Navy, Air Force or Superior Marine Corps, how many of those people lost their careers, lost their livelihoods, lost everything because Joe Biden and the evil, dirty Democrats tried to force that poisonous pile of crap into people's arms? How many? How many are out there searching the job market right now when they were just, they were on year 15 in the Navy? Remember those people when I play you this testimony from the Navy Secretary. Hang on. It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday, reminding you to email me your Ask Dr. Jesse questions for tomorrow. Email them jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Eric Schmidt, Senator Eric Schmidt of Missouri, had a chance to sit and interrogate the Navy Secretary today. And you want to know why people are getting out? And more importantly, you want to know why the global war on terror veterans are discouraging their children from joining the military? We've never had a generation of veterans who told their children no on military service, but now we do. In fact, I'm one of them. I'm pointing fingers at me. I've told my kids, nope, absolutely not. You want to know why? Listen to how much these people care about you.
You believe...
Don't you want all the members of your team to feel like they're included?
Well, I have a question. Do you believe that you were an ally for the 1,878 soldiers who were fired or the 3,746 Marines who were fired for not taking the COVID shot? Were you an ally for them?
Sir, I followed the laws. They disobeyed
the law. Did they feel included?
They disobeyed a law.
They were fired.
They were fired because they disobeyed the law.
Do you regret that?
Currently existed. I have no regrets.
You have recruitment challenges. You refuse to admit the DEI is a part of this. You're firing qualified people who are well-trained, and you sit here so smugly to act like none of that has any impact on the readiness of our Navy.
Senator, we recontacted 3,500 of the 4,800 people who were fired. You know how many actually decided to come back to the Navy?
How many?
Two.
Shocker.
Two.
Shocker at the level of disrespect they receive from their government.
How revealing is it? The guy at the end, wait, we tried to get him to come back. They wouldn't even come. And he thought that was making his point? I'm going to tell every single person, every single high-ranking officer in the military who's listening right now, and I know you are, I want to tell you all something, and you better remember it. The enlisted people, the people on the ground, not just enlisted, officers too, low-ranking officers too, I know they're lower in rank, and I know they're younger than you for the most part. Don't ever make the mistake of thinking that they're stupid. They know when leadership cares about them, and they know when leadership doesn't. It's like I've always told you when it comes to generals, officers at all, I always trust the men underneath them. Like when it comes to historical officers, Douglas MacArthur, I've used that example before, lionized in America in many circles. I despise Douglas MacArthur. Why? Because his men did. And that tells me everything I need to know. Your men will love you or despise you. And look, you may have one stray here or there, but the men as a collective are never wrong. I have never once seen them be wrong. When they hate you, it's because they know. And you officers, the men and women on the ground in the military right now, they know daggone well you don't give a crap about them. You care about your next promotion. You care about covering your rear end. You care about so many things, but you don't care about them at all. And that's why they're getting out. And that's why their kids will never join. And that's why when you morons finally kick off World War III with China and you start to get your teeth kicked in the South Pacific, that's why you're going to have to draft people. And when you draft people, this ain't Vietnam anymore. You're going to start running into parents at gunpoint when you try to come pick up their children. That is going to happen in this country. I'm telling you, it's going to happen because I will never allow my sons to serve under this. Ever. My sons, I don't expect the military to be lovey-dovey. I don't expect the military to respect my children as individuals. I don't expect that. Yeah, that's not how militaries work. That's not how governments run. But when you treat them like cannon fodder en masse like this, and then you're just, I'm going to play the whole thing again. You're so cold about it after. I'm telling you right now, every GWAT veteran listening to this just got more and more convinced his kids are never joining this military.
You believe
that you want all the members of your team to feel like they're included?
Well, I have a question. Do you believe that you were an ally for the 1,878 soldiers who were fired or the 3,746 Marines who were fired for not taking the COVID shot? Were you an ally for them?
Sir, I followed the laws. They disobeyed the law.
Did they feel included?
They disobeyed a law.
They were fired.
They were fired because they disobeyed the law.
Do you regret that? Do you regret that?
Currently exists, and I have no regrets whatsoever.
You have recruitment challenges. You refuse to. You refuse to admit the DEI is a part of this. You're firing qualified people who are well-trained, and you sit here so smugly to act like none of that has any impact on the readiness of our Navy.
Senator, we recontacted 3,500 of the 4,800 people who were fired. You know how many actually decided to come back to the Navy?
How many?
Two.
Shocker.
Two.
Shocker at the level of disrespect they receive from their government.
Imagine having the government run you out of the military because you don't want a poison injected into your heart that's going to give you a stroke at 25, and then the government reaches back out and says, hey, we got some recruiting problems. You want to come back in? What a shock. They all said thanks, but no thanks. Freaking awful, man. All right, let's get to some emails before we... FBI, they have a warning out there. The FBI is worried about ISIS and what they're going after. We're going to talk a little bit more about school boards, many, many other things. I want to get to this headline first, though. California firefighters rescue a dog trapped for hours inside of a wall. Inside of a wall. Hours, Chris. Yeah, I know. I know. It's insane. How? Well, you can only survive that if you're strong and healthy. And you can only be strong and healthy as a dog, Chris, if you're taking Rough Greens. What? Look, clearly this dog had Rough Greens poured on his food. Because a normal dog that's not on Rough Greens doesn't get nutrition. Remember, there's no nutrition in dog food. That brown food you give your dog is brown because it's dead. There's nothing in it. But Rough Greens, you pour it on your dog's food. And it has everything your dog needs. Vitamins, minerals, omega oils, digestive enzymes. Do you want your dog to be able to survive inside of a wall? Do you want your dog to be able to live for years longer than he normally would? Rough Greens gives out free Jumpstart trial bags. You'll see physical differences in your dog. 833-33-MY-DOG or go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. Get your dog on some Rough Greens. I'm telling you, all joking aside, it fixed my dog's digestive problems. This stuff is amazing. All right? All right. Dear literal pink flower, I hate you guys. You always say that in the aftermath of the revolution, conditions are rarely improved. However, in the case of our nation, freedom isn't an abstract concept. Millions have lived here in freedom under a functioning government and constitution for decades and simply want to return to that. Will these factors translate into a better outcome in the event the republic ends? I would love to hear your thoughts. She says, I'm emailing from a Pure Talk phone. Let the bar eat. Her name is Diana. Of course, Diana. Okay, so obviously, we are in a bit of a pickle here as a nation. There's no question, and we're heading into some rocky times. We are. The debt alone is going to cause all kinds of problems if you follow that downstream and what that means for society itself and civilization and all these other things. So obviously, we are in a pickle, but because of the country we have, because of our DNA, because of our founding, and because of the Constitution, and more importantly, because of the people, are we set up to possibly come out of this whole thing okay? I do have some thoughts about that, and then we'll talk about this latest FBI warning and stuff. Next.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.